Good afternoon.
There's a White Plymouth Duster up there with not the engine, but some kind of motor running. I don't know if it's all right or not. Does anyone have a White Plymouth Duster right by Henry's entrance?
I do, but it just runs for a while. It has a fan that cools the engine. Thank
Good.
You.
Okay.
It's good to see you again, to be with you. How bad do you really want to awaken and become free? I tell you that as long as you celebrate holidays, as long as you get involved in Maya, in any way or form, this is what keeps you back. As long as you are superstitious, as long as you believe something can hurt you, there's a power outside of yourself, that there's something wrong in this world, when there's something right in this world, and you get totally involved in it, this is what holds you back. Now, there's nothing wrong with celebrations. I'm all for them. But do not take them seriously. Do not get so involved that you believe the superstitions of the celebration, that you get so involved that you have to do certain things or you will be punished by some god up in the sky. You've got to become loose and free of all these superstitions of person, place, and thing. And be yourself. We all want to become free, liberated, so to speak. Free from what? We think we're attached to something. We believe something has a hold on us. We have fears. We have wants and desires, needs. These are the things that hold you back. Think about your own life. What is it that's holding you back personally from liberation? Of course, you're already liberated, you know that. But if you knew that, you wouldn't be here. You believe that you're still human, going through experiences, having friends and enemies, having good things and bad things in your life. In other words, you believe in powers outside of yourself. You still believe that the world can do something to you if you're not careful. Can hurt you. You still believe there's a disease out there that you can catch. You still believe there's a person with more power than you who can do something to you. This is all false and foolish. You are the only power. There's no power apart from you. It is your mind that plays these tricks on you. It is your mind that makes you believe that this is like this and that's like that. And you have to fix things and rectify things and straighten things out. What is this mind? Where did it come from? Who gave it birth? To whom does it belong? We all should know by now, but the mind is just a bundle of thoughts. That's all the mind is. A bundle of thoughts. It is not a separate entity. The mind is Maya, the world, the universe, and your perceptions of it is what causes things to happen to you in your life, good or bad. But when you start to see and feel that mind does not exist, then how can you be hurt? How can things bother you or annoy you? For it is only the mind that becomes annoyed. It doesn't really become annoyed. It has these perceptions from karma. If you didn't know about something, it can never hurt you. These samskaras that are with you, these attitudes, you have known sometime before, but you wouldn't be able to feel them or have them. You have to let go. You have to let go of everything. Remember that this doesn't mean that you will do absolutely nothing. The paradox is you will be doing something that you will be doing nothing. There's no one who does a thing. Yet you appear to be doing things. But nobody is home. As you begin to empty yourself of all thoughts, emotions, preconceived ideas, by observing them, looking them straight in the face, seeing the non-validity involved, the mind begins to weaken. The mind begins to lose its so-called power. And pretty soon there is no mind to deal with it all. When there is no mind, at that time you are free. So there's only the mind that holds you back. Your belief system. This is what you have to work with every day. You have to first realize that it is your belief system, your mind, that causes the conflict, the problems, the beliefs, Then you begin to look at your mind for what it really is. Examine it thoroughly. Realizing it's a non-entity. It was never born, it never came from any place. Never existed. If your mind never existed, then who are you? If there's no mind, there's no body. If there's no body, there are no others. If there are no others, there's no world, there's no universe. There's only that that always was. That which always was is nothing. No thing. No thing that this world consists of. All things are emanation of the mind. Everything. Therefore, if the mind goes, there is no one to think. There is no one to feel the pressure of this world, of this universe, as being real. This is the reason all the high teachings of this world, we are told to eliminate the mind. Think of all the thoughts that came to you just today, since you woke up, got out of bed. The different thoughts, feelings, emotions that came to you, and you accepted these things. You felt these things as if they were real. Many of you here are doing very well, eliminating the mind, seeing the only reality, the self, as nothing, yet some of you are still caught up in this world of Maya, of illusion. And it hurts. When you dream, you may dream you got killed or wounded or put in prison for the rest of your life. It hurts. Yet when you awaken, these things never existed. This life is like that. You appear to be going through experiences. Good experiences, bad experiences, all kinds of experiences. Yet you take it seriously, forgetting it's just a dream. As you take it seriously, it expands in your life. And your whole life revolves around the thing that you fear, the thing that you love, the thing that appears real in this world. Then when the changes come, you become upset. For you want to hold on to the good things of this world and get rid of the bad things. Yet what you really want to do is to awaken completely, forgetting about good things and bad things. You cannot afford to hold on to anything if you want to be free. You must ask yourself this question. Do I really want to be free? If I do, why am I doing these other things? Why do I believe in this and believe in that? Why is this so important to me? Why is that so important to me? Remember mentally, as long as something is important to you, it becomes part of your experience and pulls you further into Maya, into illusion. Only you can make yourself free. And it's simply by letting go. Letting go of everything, mentally. Remember, I'm not saying you have to leave your family, or leave your job, or leave your house, or leave anything. What I'm saying is you mentally have to become disattached to these things. You may say, how can I love my family if I become disattached? What's become disattached is your ego. The mind. When the ego and mind become weaker, love becomes stronger. Therefore, you can love your enemies, love everything in this world, in this universe, and yet not be attached to anything. This love comes by itself. You do not have to develop it. It only comes when you let go of the other. As you let go of everything else, things like love, bliss, joy, peace come by themselves. You have to become totally honest with yourself. You cannot have a secret life and on top of this, want freedom and liberation. There are no secrets in the self. It's an open book. As long as you're leading two lives, then this teaching becomes entertainment for you. You come here when there's nothing to do, when you're not doing anything important. As an example, most people here today, not everyone, but most people, do not have a family life. You're either single, or you do not live with a family. So you come here, because you have nothing to do on the holiday. But if you met someone, and say you fell in love with, or your family invited you to dinner from far away someplace, your parents, your children, would you really be here today? This is something to think about. If things were going your way, so to speak, the way you want them to be, would you be here today? There are very few people that can say yes to this. This is what I'm referring to when I say most of us have a secret life, or we have two lives. One life says, I want to become enlightened, I want to become free, I want to become evolved, I want to be self-realized. But the other life says everything that's against the principles of self-realization. You become totally involved in Maya, and you think you're having fun. When the so-called fun wears down, wears out, you have to have more fun. And you're always looking to have fun. And whatever else you may do when you're by yourself. Be honest with yourself. See what you're really all about. And let me make this perfectly clear. There's absolutely nothing wrong with enjoying yourself. Experiencing the good things of this world, so to speak. There's nothing wrong with this at all. The problem arises when you believe these things are real. When you take these things seriously. and you believe this is what brings me happiness. To go to dinner, to go to a movie, to go to a play, to go to an opera, to have friends over for dinner. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this until you believe it brings you happiness. As you know by now, the truth is nothing in this world can bring you happiness. Happiness is within yourself. You are happiness. What you're really doing is allowing the mind to rest in the heart. When the mind is satisfied that you have something that you love in your life, the mind rests in the heart. When the mind rests in the heart, happiness ensues all by itself. For happiness is the very nature of yourself. Whenever the mind goes out, searching for something to make him happy, make you happy, then you're not happy until you accomplish whatever you want to do. Once you're accomplishing it, once it's done, the mind rests in the heart and you have happiness. All the time you believe there's the thing outside of you that brings you the happiness. It's the object that has brought you great happiness. The object has absolutely nothing to do with it. It is when you are satisfied that the mind rests in the heart and you become happy. So we learn to make the mind rest in the heart all of the time and we'll always be happy. We can be happy under all circumstances. It makes no difference if we're in prison, if we're in a concentration camp, if we're in hell, as long as you're not allowing the mind to come out of your heart, you have to be happy. It is like the person who sits in the hot sun and burns, then goes under a shade tree and feels comfortable. As soon as a person is comfortable, he goes back into the sun again. And again the sun burns him. So he runs back under the shade tree. Only a fool will keep running back into the sun and go back into the shade tree. But that's exactly what we do. We go out searching for things that make us happy. And then when the things wear off, we become miserable. Whereas we can sit by ourselves and have tremendous peace and happiness. We can go to a movie, we can go anywhere we want, and the happiness never changes. The happiness is yourself. You are that. You have to always be aware of this. You have to realize I don't have to run here or run there or go here or go there. If I'm going here, I'm going there, it's because I want to, but it has absolutely nothing to do with my happiness. It will not make me a better person. If I go anywhere or do anything else, all the knowledge that you need is within yourself. All the peace that you need is within yourself. All the joy that you need is within yourself. All the love that you need is within yourself. And since yourself is all-pervading, omnipresence, therefore anywhere you look and anywhere you go, you are in yourself. There's only one self. When you know that self, others become that self. The world becomes the self. The trees become the self. The sky becomes the self. The planets become the self. The whole universe is the self. Therefore, wherever you go, whatever you do, you are seeing the self. And the self is always love and compassion and peace and bliss. That's why nothing can make you unhappy. For you're not seeing something apart from you. You're seeing yourself. As you know, when you see something apart from you, you have all kinds of problems that go with it. You have to fix it, you have to change it, you have to love it, you have to hate it, you have to do all kinds of things with it. Whereas if you are yourself, you do absolutely nothing. You just remain yourself. And you appear to be going here and going there and doing this and doing that. But you're always the self. You are always that. Feel the power within you. Feel the love within you. Feel the peace within you. Feel the freedom within you. Can't you see by now that you are that? You have no needs or desires or wants. Everything is fulfilled. Can't you see by now that you are not the body? That you are a spirit? Omnipresent? Omnipotent, omniscient? You are not limited to a body that seems to get old, get sick, that dies. That's not you. Only what has been born dies. You really think you were born? You have lived forever. And you will continue to live forever. The body and mind is a superimposition on the self. You have identified with the body and mind, and that's the only problem you've got. So you now have to identify with the self. To the extent you don't identify with the self, to that extent does your mind and body become weaker, so to speak, until they disappear altogether. And you are the self. Perfect. The whole universe, everything, is a superimposition on the self. They appear to be real, but nothing is real. Stop identifying with the body. You identify with the body when you feel hurt, when you feel good, when you feel this is happening or that's happening to you. You are identifying with the body. You can tell when this happens. When you just feel good all the time. For no reason at all, then you know you're making progress. When you start feeling happiness, joy, for no reason whatsoever, you're no longer looking at your affairs, or your life in the past, or the future of your life. You are spontaneously looking at the self. Just the way it appears. And that is unalloyed happiness. Unperturbable peace. Just the way you are. Right now. Right this second. You are that. As soon as you start thinking, you spoil it. In a split second, you are pure and bright and shining. In a split second, you are all pervading. Omniscience, omnipotence. Pure awareness of your real nature, this second, this moment. Feel it. There is nothing that can disturb you any longer. You have overcome the world. And you are free. Let's see if we've got any stumps.
I don't think this
is. There are no stumps.
Not at all.
God. We're all stumped. Maybe you stumped us. Stumped the disciples.
Yeah, I got a question. Robert, when you talk about the mind, you talk about mind like having a group of thoughts, like thoughts about the past, like thoughts about the future. But there can only be one thought at a time, not thoughts plural. There can't be thoughts. And one thought is in the mind. Whatever thought you've got, it's got a beginning, a duration, an end, and it's finished. There can't be thoughts plural. There's only one thought, whatever it is.
There's only one thought at a time. But the mind is composed of endless thoughts since you were born, so to speak, from many lives and worries about the future that you learned in this world. But they come to you one at a time. They don't all hit you at once. If they hit you at once, you wouldn't be able to take it. You'd be dropped dead.
But one thought at a time is mind. Mind has to have more than one thought, and it doesn't have more than one. It just has one thought. And then it's the end of it. Then there's no mind. When the thought finishes, there's no mind.
Look at the mind as a reservoir, full of all kinds of foolishness and nonsense and thoughts and everything else. But there's one outlet. So the thought comes out one at a time. And you get rid of this one, another one comes. You get rid of this one, another one comes.
That's an assumption. All the noise when I have a thought, and that's all that is.
Yes. So then why won't you get rid of it? Another one comes.
Well, is it another one? Because then the other one is only a thought that I had a thought before, but it's a present thought. It isn't another one, it's just a present thought.
Say you're thinking about how hot it is here.
Yeah.
Then the air conditioner comes on and you think how cool it is. Then we're talking here too much, you're thinking about going home, that you're hungry, you want to eat supper. Then when you eat supper, you're thinking about you want to watch television. So the thoughts keep coming. They never stop. They're endless. But they come one at a time. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I agree with it because I only see one thought at a time.
Yes.
At the moment there is a thought, that's all there is. There is no other thought, there's no past thought, there's no future thought. This is a thought. The thought may talk about the past, or it may talk about the future, but it's a present thought. And when this thought finishes, then there is no reservoir, no mind, and nothing.
In truth, that's right. But as we are mortal beings, the thoughts never stop coming.
That's how it seems.
Sure, that's how it seems. There's no mind to begin with.
It is.
Of course not. There's no mind to begin with.
Yeah.
There's nobody asking that question.
Yeah. But the concept mind assumes that there can be more than one thought, otherwise you have no mind. A single thought isn't a mind.
Sure.
It's an assumption.
It's an assumption, of course, yeah. It's an assumption.
That's what we're talking about.
Everything we're talking about is an assumption.
Yeah.
You're an assumption. But you have to get rid of the whole thing and become free.
Robert? Do you want to go ahead, please? All
right. On Thursday, you covered pretty thoroughly the fact that there is nothing, no thing. If this is so, that in reality, that's so in reality, everything that we think is outside of us really isn't.
True. There's no outside, there's no inside.
No opposites.
There's no thing. Nothing exists. Nothing ever existed. But because you believe you are a body, these things appear real.
How do you know? I do. But, the Bible says, eye has not seen nor ear heard the list that is prepared for the righteous and the people who are right. Ones who've gone into the state of pure consciousness, pure awareness, which is our real nature.
Mm.
Is that right?
That's what the Bible says.
The Bible's right.
Sure, why not?
Take it or leave it.
But what do you say?
Best thing to do is be still.
Of course.
Otherwise, I'm thinking you're all apart from this.
Always remember, when everything is said and done, it is you that counts.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you. We're all one.
Don't take it personally.
Robert, when we spoke before, I was telling you, the self attracts the self. So does that apply when people are ready? Like the Yoni will come to help them.
On one plane, that's true. But remember, there are not two selves or three selves.
No.
There's only one self. Therefore, the one self is omnipresent and all-pervading. planet, that planet you're talking about, the self attracts the self. When there's something within you that is ripe and ready, like an orange that's ready to fall off the tree, you will attract yourself to that experience, whether it's a yoni or a sage or something else or a book. It can be anything. But you will attract yourself to that thing that you need to do next for your unfoldment and fulfillment. This is why I always say that you're in your right place at the right time, going through those experiences that are necessary for you at this time. There are no mistakes. Everything is in its right place. Never believe there's something wrong in your life. You are where you're supposed to be. Going through those experiences that are necessary for you right now. When you become angry at yourself because you don't like the experiences you're going through, you are hindering your growth. Rather be grateful and thankful for every experience that you're going through, even though they appear to be terrible in your life. Be thankful for this experience. For the experience is not what you think it is in your finite mind. There's a greater purpose to it. All is well.
Robert, when you refer to spiritual growth, are you talking about the approach to enlightenment?
The approach to enlightenment, yes. Every experience that you have in your life, whatever it looks like, is only to take you up further towards freedom and liberation. This is the reason we're told never to judge by appearances. For finitely we can't understand the experiences. We're looking at life from one viewpoint only.
But haven't you said that life has no purpose?
It has no purpose, but as long as you believe you are a human being and you're working on yourself, then you have to appear to be doing certain things that become free. But ultimately, life has no purpose whatsoever.
How about realization? It seems that the purpose is a self-transcending, self-sacrificing purpose. To see this as all nothing, useless.
Who sees?
The self.
The self doesn't even exist.
Well, it appears to. From that point of view, from the relative point of view, it's...
As long as it appears to exist, then you have to do things to get there.
From that point of view, it seems to be a self-realizing process of self-transcending the ego.
Then you have to work on yourself and do spiritual work, sadhana, to get there. But when you begin to feel there's no purpose, and there's no realization, there's no confusion, there's no delusion, then you don't have to do anything, you just keep still.
Does a baby have awareness of the self?
A newborn baby is pure. It doesn't have awareness of self. It has awareness like we have when we're sleeping. When we're sound asleep, there's no ego. The mind rests in the heart. When we're sound asleep, so we do not function. But when you are awake and the mind rests in the heart, that's called Sahaja Samadhi. And then you are aware of the self. So a newborn baby is like the sleep state. It is pure, but it is unconscious.
And not self-realized.
Not self-realized.
Unless it's a self-realized baby, of course.
True.
Oh. At what point does the posthumous and the samsaras come into the individual?
As soon as it's born.
He's pure.
Slowly but surely, it comes.
But you said he was pure.
He's pure to an extent that he's like us asleep. But as it continues in this life, sojourn, all the samskaras come out, things start to happen, it's being brainwashed every day by the parents, by society, and here we are today. Bunch of idiots.
Robert, if the illusion is as pictures on a screen of consciousness, and the pictures are created by our finite minds, how is it that the finite mind could create something of such ineffable beauty and symmetry?
The finite mind is simply the illusion of being. We are beings, and we're being. This being is creation of symmetry, of beauty, of ugliness, of death, of life. All this appears in Maya.
But if it comes from the mind, then doesn't that presuppose that the mind can be creative to create a butterfly or a hummingbird?
The mind appears to create all of these things, of course. But who's creating? Where does it all come from?
Yeah, it comes from consciousness.
Consciousness is self-contained. The truth is it doesn't come from any place. It doesn't even appear. It doesn't exist. It is like the mirage in the water. Like the snake in the rope. Like the sky is blue. Everything appears to be, but upon investigation, it doesn't exist at all.
I can imagine that we could visualize cardboard boxes, but I mean, all this is just too much.
For whom is it too much? For the ego mind. When the ego mind gets out of the way, everything will shine by itself. This thing called Maya.
I'm confused about this.
That's why it's Maya. Otherwise it wouldn't be Maya. We'd be able to cut through it.
This thing called Maya is a very intricate game. It makes everything appear so real, so alive.
It is the reality of it. The complexity of it. The astounding beauty.
Sure. This is to pull you in further. To get you further involved. Because you fall in love with all this beauty and all this joy and happiness that appears. And you get involved in it, and then you have to go through the ramifications of it.
Oh, I can take it.
And of course, everything has to change sooner or later.
But even the change and decay seems so symmetrically perfect.
Of course it does. The whole universe appears symmetrically perfect. But for whom does it exist?
Oh, can anybody help me though? It's just the idea that if we could say that consciousness created it, then it would seem...
Your mind wants a creator. According to the mind, something has to have a cause. We can't think of a thing without a cause, because it's mind-boggling. Yet in truth, there's no cause. There's no justification for existence.
I And are you saying there's no perfect symmetry?
The perfect symmetry appears to be so. In the beauty of things, in the joy of life, there appears to be perfect symmetry. But this perfect symmetry is only Maya. It has no life of its own. It has no existence of its own. It appears. And the appearance comes from nowhere. Like the water in the mirage.
Name is imperfect symmetry.
Imperfect symmetry. Perfect symmetry, imperfect symmetry.
Perfect
asymmetry. More unreal opposite.
It's like a perfect insecurity.
Sure.
Why can't we say it's all consciousness? It's really consciousness.
You can say whatever you like. But consciousness is consciousness. It doesn't even exist. It only exists because we're talking about it. We make it exist because we have to give it a name.
But everything is that, so then the world is really that. The reality of the world is really consciousness. So it is a cause.
The reality of the world appears to be consciousness sometimes when we talk about it that way. But why talk about it that way at all?
It makes sense.
As long as it makes sense, it's not real. That's the problem. You hit it right down the head.
It's a false sense of security.
And right, anything that makes sense is a lie.
But it's a good way to teach. I mean, it's a way that people can follow it. Otherwise, it's just totally irrational and nobody can really follow anything.
That's good. This is why I want it. Because when you're shocked out of your life of following and being on the straight line, everything being like you can imagine and think about, you can never awaken. You have to be shocked into awakening by realizing nothing exists the way you think. Nothing at all is like you believe.
So to say the reality of the world is self-contradictory, right? In other words, there is no world.
There is no world, there is no self-contradictory.
There's no reality.
There's no reality.
What is that?
Nothing.
Silence.
Nothing. Silence. There's not even nothing. Because in our minds, when we think of nothing, it's something.
Well, then there's not even silence.
There's not even silence.
Why don't we shut up?
I don't know.
There's nothing more to be said.
Of course not.
A giant slide down to the lake.
Good idea.
Yeah. Taken up with the city.
What a day.
The slide would be fun.
Yeah.
I could go
from
here.
I'll
come over and say
Thank you.
can we go back to karma a minute? If something real bad happens to me tomorrow, I break a leg, lose my income, am I to feel that I, Fred Brandell, am being punished, or is it just an effect, has a cause?
Do not feel that you're being punished.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
That's
me. Or the opposite, if something wonderful happens. I'm not being rewarded. Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Next week we're having a bhandara. There will be plenty of food because you're going to bring plenty of food, right? There'll be music, entertainment.
And didn't you say we start one instead of two next week?
We start one. Do we have any announcements?
Yes, I... go ahead. Go ahead. Well, I have some transcripts. Do you have transcripts, too?
Yep.
Oh. You should have told me that when you brought mine out. Anyway, I have the latest one. You have 61, 2, 3, and 4, don't you?
3 that I need copies.
3? Oh, my gosh.
But I have one copy each.
One copy each. Oh, that's
I don't have 10 copies to pass out. I have one copy to get 10 back in order to pass them out. Or to get 10
oh,
back.
Well, I have 5 copies to pass out. This is number 65. We're up to 65. Right? And this is called Satsang because it has things in it about Satsang. If anyone would like to copy these,
copied again, so they need to be one side only, not two sides. And we're going to pass them off to people that don't have the equipment to do two sides. One side only, please. 15 copies, unstable. Thank you.
Knowing on a certain level the baby is never really born, but on a relative level, why would it appear to be born unrealized? Would that be a result of karma and samskaras?
It is like a tree that's born from a seed. Anything that's born is not real. Anything that appears to be born is false. The real was never born. So whatever appears to be born like a baby is part of creation. It's all part of Maya.
Including the non-realization.
Including the non-realization, yes. Whatever is born, whatever you see in this world, is all Maya. Baby is part of it. Not separate.
It doesn't have to be born, it just has to appear.
Appear, the appearance is Maya.
It doesn't have to be born.
But it appears to be born.
Does a mountain appear to be born?
It appears to appear.
A mountain has appeared to be born centuries ago.
It wasn't born, it came just occurred.
It occurred.
There's no birth.
Well, it's semantics.
If you're watching a volcano, it does.
Anything in this world that appears and is born, whatever you want to call it, is Maya. Or think of it as a dream. When you are dreaming, you may dream that you have birth, that you have death, that you have disillusion. Yet when you wake up, the dream is gone. So this was this life. I don't understand why this is so difficult to grasp. Because when you're dreaming, everything that occurs in the dream is occurring now. There's no difference. Yet where did the dream come from? The dream came out of your mind. And in that dream you have all kinds of experiences. Same with this life. Only just like in the dream you refuse to call this a dream. You want to get involved and do this and do that. Yet when you're in your dream, you are the same way. You will never call it a dream. If I come into your dream and tell you you're dreaming, you will not believe me. You will be the same way you are now. You will say, what do you mean, Robin? This is real. And then you pinch me to show me it's funny. Don't you feel the pinch? Of course I do. It's a dream pinch. So I feel the pinch. The same thing is true here.
For Robert, in that dream, there's an implicit reality that you wake up to that has similar forms to the dream. So if you insist on analogy, why isn't there a reality we wake up to that has similar forms to what's currently being experienced now?
You do wake up to reality.
It has similar forms?
In a similar form. When you wake up, you will be totally free of who you are, from what you are.
There's a correlation between the dream state and the waking state. I had a dream where I was waving. Well, I thought the UPS truck was going by and he and I waving, but I thought he didn't see me. So, but I looked in his mirror as he went by and he was looking at me, so I waved at him in my dream. And just then, I woke up and I stood up, sat up in bed and I was waving.
Yeah.
So there's a connection of some kind.
Well, you probably had a dream just before you were waking up in the morning. It was probably the last dream you had.
Oh, I woke up waving.
Yes, and it was the dream was just about happening before you were awakened.
Oh.
And then when you woke up, you continued.
Oh, I see what you mean. I see, yeah.
See, we usually have 7 to 8 dreams a night. And the ones we remember are the last ones that we have in the morning. We forget about the rest. So you were dreaming the last dream about the UPS truck. And all of a sudden you woke up and you were waiting for your phone.
Oh, course, he wasn't there, but he wasn't there in the dream or in the waking state.
He was there in the dream.
In both cases.
He wasn't there in the waking state because he woke up. Was the UPS truck there in the waking state?
No.
That'd have been a surprise.
Did you think of your dream, you have a headache?
The UPS truck in his bed.
That's what happened to these secrets.
But you know, Robert, I noticed that sometimes the reality of the dream carries off both, because in the dream I fly, and when I wake up, it takes me about a minute, or maybe a minute and a half, or maybe 2 minutes before I realize in this kind of reality, it doesn't work.
Mm.
No, it takes me that long till I start believing it doesn't work. But I'm sure it works until I find it. No.
Why don't you go to the mountain and try?
Mm-hmm. I will think about it. That's as far as I'm going to leave it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work on my floor. I think I work here. But I sure think I can until I find out I can't.
I'm going to get you Toshi's for your
birthday. What if you wake up from a dream that was so intense you just perspiring, it's been a horrifying experience. I had a horrifying experience in a dream just recently.
Hmm.
I was being attacked and I screamed so loud, but the word I screamed is, "Oh God," and it went way off. And I could see it going way off. The sound, the vibration of the word God went way out into infinity. And it came back into a big light, and it came back into me as a power. And I grabbed the guy, and he went down into dust. I disintegrated. But I woke up all just wringing wet. I was so scared.
See the power of the name?
It was, and I knew. That's when I said to you, is there any significance about dreams and spiritual experiences? But I know it's only a mind thing,
but
it was, oh my God. I think about it now and I perspire from it.
You turn them to dust.
I did, yes, because the power went through you and I was just shaking with it and it just went right down to ashes. And I thought, oh my God, I killed him.
Annihilated him. You did more than kill.
I'm not going to tell the police.
Yeah, that was the worst dream I've ever had.
It's a good feeling when you realize it's just a dream.
Oh, I forgot it was a dream, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Robert, is it true that the body is really only really mind stuff also? Only concretization of the tendencies from the past?
The body is an idea of the mind.
So everything is mind.
The mind is everything. And the mind doesn't exist.
Yeah, but then when you die, you're in the world of the mind because the body and the brain is not there to filter out and stop you from the world of the mind. So then you're in the world of just your own mind. That's your own hell, right?
When you die, come and tell me. Why talk about things like when you die you're going to be this and you're going to be that? Why not become free now? Totally free, then we won't have to worry about dying. There'll be nobody to die.
Or just get drunk before you die.
Get drunk before you die and you come back as an alcoholic.
Get divorced.
Yeah. I have a suggestion that we all get drunk next Satsang.
Boo.
Bring the booze. Yeah, you supply the booze. It's your idea.
Why do you say that many people rest in the silence and they still don't awaken?
Ask them. People do all kinds of things.
How do you know that so?
Well, you said that if you rest in the silence, then you're guaranteed to awaken.
Sure, if you rest in the silence, but how do you know they're resting in the silence? Are they resting in the silence free from thought?
has to be permanently, or
you have to be free from sin. Otherwise, where is the silence? If there's thought.
Is that a universal law like that? If you're absolutely silent, how long do you have to...
17 minutes and 23 minutes. Seconds. Exactly.
250 years.
Until you disappear.
Three answers.
It all depends on the person. We have no prasad today.
Yes, that's
true. Sure, right behind us.
This kid found some goose eggs or duck eggs, and he gave them to his cat, and the cat sat on the eggs and kept them warm, and they hatched. And when they hatched, the cat thought it was the mother of the baby ducks.
Oh.
And the cat took care of the ducks.
Oh my God.
I thought he was going to tell us the cat is used to try not to be cats. It wouldn't be. Smart pet.
Raising dinner.
At least the raised dog instead of raising hell.
Macaroni.
And David will be there next week singing the song. And Randy over back over here is going to bring his mandolin.
Great.
And play it. And Henry's going to sing Sweet Adeline.
How did you know?
Because you told me.
I wanted to have that as a surprise.
And then you will do it. We'll sing together.
Do it.
I'll do the thing and
we'll
sing.
Do it.
No, I'm going to do it.
So until we meet again, be at peace with yourself. Do not worry about the world or your life. Do not concern yourself with God or the Maya of this universe. Go deep within. Realize the truth. Be free. Blessings, peace, joy. Go forth and multiply.
Take it easy.